Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Hidden by Shalini Boland, narrated by Henrietta Mia. Preface. He felt the drumming of the earth, the heartbeat of all humankind in his bones and blood, in his skin and soul. It sang a song that he had known forever, and in that instant, everything became clear. He knew the reason for it all, the key to life, and it was so obvious. How could he not have known this simple truth before now? And then, as suddenly as it had come, it left. His beating heart slowed, the song faded, and the knowledge slipped away, like an elusive memory refusing to come to mind. He felt a devastating loss, worse than if his dearest love had died. A heavy melancholy descended, so profound he felt as though he should like to sleep for 1,000 years. In the cold darkness, tears rolled down his face and stung his cheeks like acid. He closed his eyes and tried not to think. It hurt to think. It hurt. God, it hurt. Like the skin being stripped from his body. He could not breathe, and his eyes burned white-hot with a searing pain. He tried to speak, but his throat constricted, closed shut. Was he in hell? Was this the fate he deserved?
Please, God, no! Help me! He silently screamed. Save me! I promise! I promise anything! I will do anything! Just please! Make it stop!
Chapter 1.
And black denim micro skirts are certainly not part of our school uniform, nor are those boots or that trashy black eyeliner.
Madison let the deputy head's sharp Scottish tones fade out as she gazed through the window onto the school playing fields. Some of the boys were out there playing a brutal game of rounders, taking it pathetically seriously. She wrinkled her nose at the stink of disinfectant and perfume in Haggis's room. It made the already stifling air barely breathable.
"Madison, are you listening to me?"
Haggis rapped her saggy knuckles on the table.
"Or am I talking to the wall? You know, you would do well to listen, girl. You need to change your ways. I've seen your type 100 times before, and you never amount to anything. You have all the back chat and think you're the queen of the world. But you're nothing. You look a mess, and you've absolutely no respect for tradition."
Something in Maddie snapped, something separate and distant from her brain. Anger spiked.
"You're talking crap. All you want is a school full of uniform-wearing Nazis like you."
"I beg your pardon?"
Haggis's mouth hung open for a couple of seconds, and her face flushed purple.
"How dare you talk to me like that?"
Maddie ignored her. She knew she'd gone too far, but she was sick of people talking down to her like she was nothing, like she had no feelings. All her unsaid frustrations spewed out with no thought for any consequences.
"Don't you want us to think for ourselves? I mean, I'm not telling you how to do your job, just making a few suggestions."
She paused.
"Or maybe you're just jealous because you're an ancient old hag."
"You little—"
Maddie suddenly felt a stinging blow on her cheek and put her hand to her face. She couldn't believe it. Haggis had slapped her. The old cow had actually hit her. She felt anger, followed by a strange realization that this could possibly work out in her favor. Haggis stared down at her trembling hand, and then looked back at Maddie in fear.
"You hit me," said Maddie.
There was a moment's silence.
"You deserved it."
Haggis's fear was morphing into something else, something harder.
"You'll get the sack for that," Maddie said. "You might even get put away."
"Don't be ridiculous. Who'd believe a jumped-up little trollop like you?"
"I'm going to go and see Gordon. Tell him what you've done."
"You tell anyone anything, and I'll make sure you and your brother are split up for good,"
Haggis said, cold flint in her voice.
"I'll make sure he gets sent back to that care home you hated so much."
"You can't do that."
"Breathe a word of this, and your life will be worth even less than it is now. I mean it. You don't say anything to anybody, or that little brother of yours will be back wetting the bed for the next 4 years.
Madison wanted to punch her.
Wait here, Haggis said.
She reappeared a few minutes later with Mr. Gordon, the headmaster.
Madison Green has just threatened to smack me in the face, she announced, and pursed her lips, waiting. Lying bitch! You can't...
But she realized she couldn't say anything without jeopardizing her life further.
Quiet, Madison,
Mr. Gordon said, a weary frown embedded in his grey forehead.
What are you going to do about it, Mr. Gordon?
Haggis put her hands on her hips.
I will not be spoken to like that, or threatened in such a way, especially not by the likes of her.
I'll deal with it, Miss McKinley,
he sighed.
Madison, you better come into my office.
Maddie shook her head slowly in disbelief, while Haggis caught her eye and twisted her lips in a half-smile. Mr. Gordon opened the door and gestured to Madison to lead the way. Once in his office, he pointed to a chair, and she dropped herself into it. A loud whoomp of air rushed out of the seat pad. Madison recrossed her arms and began chewing her fingernails. Mr. Gordon sat behind his desk.
"She's lying!" Madison began. "I never said..."
Mr. Gordon held up his hand to silence her.
"Madison, I'm sorry, but you've been warned about this type of thing twice already this term. I'm seeing persistent, disruptive behaviour from you."
He slowly shook his head.
"I've got no other option. I'm going to have to exclude you from school for 1 week."
"What?"
She couldn't believe it. How had this happened? How had it gone from one of Haggis's boring lectures to her getting slapped and then suspended? She daren't risk telling the truth. Her brother couldn't take going back to that place. Trevor was going to freak.
"I'll also be speaking to your foster parents."
"But I never threatened her. I just..."
"Stop, Madison. You've been in my office too many times, and I'm not putting up with it anymore. You're lucky I don't get the police involved. Threatening a teacher with violence is a serious offence."
"I didn't threaten her, though. She's such a liar. Oh, what's the point?"
She clenched her fist in frustration.
"No one ever believes me, anyway."
Her cheek stung.
"Right."
Mr. Gordon picked up a blue folder and flipped through its pages.
"You can stay in Classroom 4B until the end of school. You needn't return until your week's suspension is up."
"Great,"
she replied, standing up, raising her middle finger, and slamming out of his office. Madison didn't bother going into Classroom 4B, and she couldn't face going home yet. Leaving the school grounds, she strode across to the nearby park and sat on the only non-vandalized swing. Over by the hedge, a small cluster of Year 9s were bunking off and sharing a bottle of cider. She swung her bare legs backwards and forwards on the swing, its rusty chain thirsty for a few squirts of oil. As she swung higher and higher, anger took hold. She gritted her teeth at the injustice of it all, thoughts flying through her head, things she should have said, should have done, an acidic feeling rising. Not a breath of wind stirred, only the stale breeze she generated on the swing. After a while, her thoughts blurred, and she tried to shake off a feeling of dread. Putting her feet down on the concrete to slow herself, she pulled out her mobile phone to check the time. 3:10. School would be finishing soon. She'd been at Collingstone Comprehensive for the past 3 years, and had settled in pretty well, managing to hover somewhere between the cool kids and the troublemakers. Now, as she headed back to the school, she glared at its green iron gates and faded red bricks, as if it was somehow the building's fault she was in trouble. The bell shrilled, making her jump, and there was a minute of silence before doors banged open and hundreds of pupils spilled out in a mess of movement and noise. As she waited, Maddie felt distanced from it all, cut off, adrift.
"Oh, I could scream!"
It was a relief to finally talk to Keisha and Lois.
"Haggis lied to Mr. Gordon's face. She actually lied. I'd have gone mental."
Lois scowled.
"What did you do?"
Keisha asked,
Nothing I could do. Just gave him the finger and walked out of his office.
Good. That's all they deserve. You should have texted us. We'd have bunked geography.
Thanks, but I was so wound up I wasn't thinking right.
1 whole week, though, Mads, Lois said. At least it's summer. You can get yourself a good tan, girl.
Yeah, right, Lois. You know our Maddie girl don't tan. She just gets a million freckles and burns up like a red-hot chili pepper. Thanks for that, Keisha. You're supposed to be cheering me up, not taking the piss.
Sorry, babe. Just trying to take your mind off it, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Maddie smiled at her friends. She'd told them some of what happened, but hadn't dared tell them about Haggis hitting her. If any gossip reached the staff room, Haggis could make trouble for her and Ben. She couldn't risk it. Then she spotted him up ahead.
Hey, Ben! Wait up!
She jogged down the road after a group of gangly Year 7s. Ben was among them. She'd missed him at the gates. Putting her arm around his neck, she pulled him into a bear hug, ruffling his dark brown hair and kissing the top of his head. His school uniform was about 2 sizes too big and swamped his narrow frame.
Get off!
He grinned.
Hey, Ben, your sister's well fit, said one of his friends. Can you give me some of that good loving too, Madison? Yeah, Maddie, you know we want some.
Maddie smiled and pulled her brother to one side, letting them all walk on ahead, still shouting and catcalling back to her. She told him a watered-down version of what had happened.
Oh, no, Mads, Trevor's going to go mad!
Ben frowned and chewed on the corner of his thumb.
Don't worry about him, Ben. I'm not.
Maddie wasn't looking forward to telling their foster father about her suspension from school, and realised she didn't want Ben to be around when she broke the news, in case there was a scene.
Here's a couple of quid. Why don't you go to the park with your mates for a bit? Come back around 5:30.
She shook out the meagre contents of her purse and gave it to her brother.
But I've got a project to finish for tomorrow. I'll help you with it after tea. We'll get it done, no problem. Go on. I'll see you later.
Okay, then,
he said, and shouted after his mates.
Oi, wait a minute!
Madison watched as he ran after them, trailing his school bag along the pavement. Her friends finally caught her up.
Ben's such a sweetheart, Keisha said. I wish my brother was more like that.
Maddie tried to kid herself nothing bad would happen. Here she was, walking normally with her friends. Things would be fine. She tried to banish her foster parents from her mind, tried to stop worrying about the power they had over her and Ben's lives.
I gotta tell Trevor about my suspension before Gordon calls him,
Maddie said, her low, husky voice even quieter than normal. She kicked a Coke can and sent it reeling into the road.
Come to my house tonight, then you won't have to tell him nothing,
Lois offered.
Yeah, but then I'd still have to see him tomorrow.
She sat on a wall, and the others stopped walking.
Just tell him, yeah? He'll shout at you and then it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Maddie wasn't convinced. Why had she spoken back to Haggis? She should have just kept quiet and said sorry. But as always, her mouth took over. She'd be leaving school soon anyway, and thought the most she'd get would be a detention and a bit more kudos with her mates. How could she have known Haggis would be such a total bitch? Maddie was always on edge, terrified Trevor and Angie would get rid of her if she was too much trouble, and then she'd be on her own, away from her brother. It always lay there, a cancerous worry in the pit of her stomach, a simmering fear of separation.
Right, I'm just going to go home and tell him. Maybe Angie'll be there and it won't be as bad.
If it all kicks off, come round mine, okay?
Lois repeated her offer. Thanks. Maddie hugged her friends goodbye and turned left down the high street. Bangra music blared out of a cut-price clothes shop. A young couple swore at each other outside the ABC taxi firm, and Dixon's had another sale on, advertising cheap laptops and £100 off 32-inch plasma screens. A few kids from school sat at a table outside Ali's caf, their bags strewn over the narrow, dusty pavement.
"Oi, Green!" one of them called out. "Heard you flip Gordon the finger. Nice one!"
She looked up as she walked past and vaguely recognised some lads in the year below. She raised her eyebrows in acknowledgement and walked on.
Maddie waited at the lights next to the harassed woman trying to keep hold of a squirming toddler's hand. When the green man appeared, the woman dragged her stumbling child across the road. The heavy, humid air pulsed like peppery treacle, and Maddie was aware of a throbbing pain in her temples. She hoped it wouldn't turn into a migraine.
"Please let Angie be home. Please let Angie be home. Please let Angie be home,"
she chanted in her head as she headed up the weed-filled path to the small terraced house she called home. She held her breath and turned the key.
"That you, Ben?"
Trevor's voice came from the small kitchen at the back of the house.
"No, it's me. Ben's gone to the park."
Maddie pushed open the kitchen door. Trevor was making a cup of tea. It didn't look like he'd been drinking, which was a relief.
"Want one?"
He gestured to the kettle.
"Yeah, go on then."
Trevor used to work as a black cab driver, but there had been an incident involving drinking and driving. Nothing had been proved, but he'd lost his job all the same, and he hadn't managed to find another one.
"Good day?"
Maddie's heart beat fast.
"Very informative, Maddie."
She took a breath.
"Trevor?"
"Yes?"
"I've got some news, but it wasn't my fault."
"It never is, Maddie. Spill."
"Well, I've been suspended, but Miss McKinley lied to Mr. Gordon. She said I threatened to smack her in the face, but I..."
"Jesus Christ, Maddie! Can't we have one sodding term where there isn't some drama or another?"
"But it wasn't my fault."
"It wasn't your fault, it wasn't your fault. You're like a broken record. I do not know why me and Angie put up with this crap."
He towered over Maddie, who scowled back at him. A familiar bitterness settled somewhere between her throat and her chest. The reminder she was on her own, that nothing was secure. If it had been just her, it would have been okay. She could have told them all to piss off and done her own thing. But Ben needed her, and she couldn't let him down. Trevor's face darkened, and globs of spit shot out of his mouth, landing on her cheeks.
"Why can't you be like your brother? He hasn't ever given us one second of trouble, but you! You're a disaster area, you're a nightmare! Angie's going to be destroyed over this. We'll have the social services cross-examining us again. It's just hassle, hassle, hassle all the time!"
He pushed back his thinning hair.
"Madison, this is just about the last straw."
Maddie dropped her defiant stance.
"I'm sorry, Trevor. Don't split us up, please. Ben will be no good without me. You know what he was like when he first came?"
"All I know is your trouble and you're too smart for your own good. You never know when to button your lip. If it's not school, it's boys or fights or some bloody thing or other. I'm getting too old for it. And you should have thought of Ben before you started threatening to smack a teacher in the face."
"But I didn't." "I'm home!"
Trevor and Maddie both looked up to see Angie walk through the kitchen door, sunlight shining on a halo of dyed auburn frizzy hair. She looked in their faces.
"What's going on?"
Maddie started to explain, but Trevor interrupted.
"Madison's got herself suspended from school, and I'm thinking of adding homeless to that description."
"Oh, Maddie, what have you done now?"
"Get upstairs while I talk to Angie."
Trevor growled at her. Madison tramped up the narrow staircase. He hadn't said he would definitely kick her out. There was still some hope. She lingered at the top of the stairs and strained her ears. Their voices were muffled, but Trevor soon turned the volume up.
"I'm not having her hanging around the house all day every day while she's suspended. And if she goes out, she's going to get into even more trouble. We should never have taken her on in the first place."
"Don't say that, Trevor. She's had a rough time."
"We've all had a rough time. Don't look at me like that. I've made up my mind."
"Ben'll be distraught. He worships his sister."
"Ben'll be fine. Maddie, get your ass down here now."
"Please calm down, Trevor. Drink your tea."
"Tea ain't gonna do anything. Pass me the bottle."
Maddie came back into the kitchen to see her foster dad flinging the steaming contents of his mug into the sink and pouring himself a slosh of whiskey. The room felt like a hot, stale mouth. Hope curdled to sour anger. That familiar surge of helplessness overtook her, the dread she'd hoped not to feel again for a long time. Angie put a reassuring hand on Maddie's shoulder and gave it a small squeeze. Maddie flinched and shook it off.
"You, my girl, are really winding me up."
Trevor jabbed a thick finger toward her.
"I'm not your girl,"
Maddie muttered under her breath.
What's that?
I said I'm not your girl.
Oh.
Trevor raised his eyebrows at Angie.
She says she's not my girl.
He looked back at Maddie.
Well, whose girl are you then? Because I don't see anyone else rushing round to claim you.
Trevor, that's enough. And we don't need any more cheek from you either, young lady. I've just got in from work and all I want to do is put my feet up with a cup of tea. Instead, I walk into World War III. Come on now, both of you, just calm down.
I'm going out.
Maddie stormed into the narrow hallway.
No, you are not going out. Come back here. We haven't finished talking yet.
Trevor was yelling now. I'll see you later. And then she muttered, or not.
You walk out of that door and that's it, Maddie. I'm warning you.
Trevor lunged forward and grabbed her arm.
Get off me!
Maddie shook him off and slammed out of the house. She didn't know what to do. She felt shut down. Something tightened and closed inside her. She didn't want to talk about this with her friends. It was too scary and exhausting to say the words out loud. Words like homeless and separation or care home. Maddie worried about Ben and what he would think when he got back and found her gone. She'd promised to help him with his project, but now he'd have to finish it by himself. After walking for a while, she found herself back on the busy high street. The noise, dirt, and heat added to her feelings of turbulence and fear. Familiar surroundings seemed alien. Maddie craved peace, calm, and normality, but she didn't know where to go. The park would be packed with kids by now, and she couldn't face talking to anyone she knew. Besides, Ben still might be there. Walking for about 10 minutes, she negotiated her way past A-boards, pushchairs, and groups of ambling school kids who took up the whole pavement. Then, across the road, she saw an elderly woman shuffle out of a red brick building. Set back from the street, beyond a small, neat garden, it squatted securely in the shade of some leafy trees. It looked like a public building, maybe a small drop-in centre or something. But as Maddie approached, she saw it was a library. Crossing the busy road, she headed up the ramp and passed the old woman, still inching her way down towards the road, gripping the rustling railings for support. Maddie walked in, slightly reassured by its solidity and musty old scent, the air blissfully quiet and cool. She looked around and headed to the least busy section. Her eyes roamed across the book spines, not really concentrating as she didn't know what she was searching for. Then she recognised a familiar title and prized out a tatty copy of Jonathan Livingston's Seagull. She loved that book. She spied a vacant chair and table at the end of the aisle, sat down and looked at the blue and white cover. Wouldn't she love to be a seagull? She'd make the most of that freedom, savour it, hovering, swooping, gliding, diving. She inhaled the book. It calmed her, and she turned to the first page. Black thoughts receded as she unfocused her eyes across the blur of words. Just as her breathing steadied, a voice made her start. She looked up and saw a man. He was telling her the library would be closing in 5 minutes' time. The anger returned. She glared at the man and scraped her chair back. He smiled apologetically and backed away. Where could she go now? Not being a member of the library, she couldn't even check the book out with her. She looked left and right, made sure no one was looking, and wedged the thin volume down the back of her skirt, pulling her school shirt over the top. Maddie made a swift exit, back out into the humid, unfriendly evening, starving and thirsty, as she'd had nothing to eat since lunchtime. Her bag was back at the house, but anyway she'd given her last £2 to Ben. She located a cough suite in the front pocket of her skirt, which had half melted to its wrapper. Using a blue varnish nail, Maddie spent a couple of minutes peeling the bits of paper off it, and finally plopped the sticky cube into her mouth. It tasted pretty disgusting, but it was better than nothing. Shania Lewis was having a party later, which probably wouldn't get going till at least 9, more than 3 hours away. She'd left her mobile in her bag at home, but anyway it had no credit, and the battery was almost dead. All she could do for now was just keep walking. The party was already spilling out into the street when Madison arrived. She pushed her way inside and nodded to a few people. In the kitchen, the sight of a bowl of hula hoops induced a feeling of euphoria, and she crammed a handful into her mouth. Then she spotted the fridge, leant down and hooked out a cold can of beer. As she straightened up, she felt two hands snake around her waist.
What the...
She whipped around to spew some vitriol, but saw the hands belonged to a boy she'd seen around, the arrogant one with the sardonic smile. 15 minutes later, they were staggering up the stairs, kissing and laughing. His dark stubble scratched her chin, and his warm smell made her light-headed and reckless. The boy pushed open a door and pulled her over onto an unmade double bed. The insistent bass line from downstairs helped mute her feelings. As their kisses grew deeper, she forgot about the fact she might not have a home. She forgot about her suspension from school. She forgot who she was, why she was here, and why she cared about any of it. She just concentrated on the hot shivers in the depths of her body and the comforting feeling of being held, of being wanted. Madison didn't particularly care about him. It was just convenient he looked fit, seemed to be into her, and happened to be a pretty good kisser. He started to undo the buttons on her shirt. So far, she'd done a good job of keeping her clothes on, but his hands were stronger than hers. She wished he'd stay happy with the long, deep kisses, but knew how likely that wasn't, and his groping began to annoy her. Grabbing his hand more forcefully, she pushed it away.
Come on, Maddie.
No.
It feels good, though, doesn't it? Just chill a bit. I said no, don't spoil it.
His hands wandered down past the back of her skirt and found the stolen library book.
What's this?
He pulled it out and squinted in the darkened room.
What you reading this for? Sea girls?
He tossed it on the floor and started to kiss her again.
No, pass that back.
I'm going to go downstairs. I need a drink.
We'll get a drink later. Come on.
He tugged at her skirt.
No, get off.
She sat up and shoved him away.
Where's my book?
God, girl, it's just a friggin' book. What's your problem? You some kind of geek or something?
Maddie jumped off the bed and scrabbled around on the floor until she found the book, wedged it back down her skirt, and slammed out of the door.
Freak!
The boy shouted after her. She stumbled past the smokers on the stairs and the sweaty crowd of kids in the hall, and shakily made her way outside. The police had just pulled up. They were early, and didn't usually show up at parties until at least 11. It had been raining, a short, sharp thunderstorm, and the air smelt burnt and damp. Maddie walked blurrily down the road in no particular direction until her legs grew tired, and she sat down on the wet, grey curb with her feet in the gutter. Dirty rainwater swirled around her boots, but she didn't care.
This isn't my life, she thought. I've seen real life on the telly, and I've read about it in books, and it's not like this. This is a mistake. My life is a great big mistake. It's not supposed to be like this.
Chapter 2 Paris, 1881. They were all furious with Alexandra. It was ridiculous. He had only escorted her outside onto the terrace for some air. Well, there was the small matter of the kiss. One tiny, innocent kiss. But then, he supposed there was no such thing as an innocent kiss. At this moment, he wished he had never set eyes on the girl. She had looked up at him from under her lashes, instantly seducing him with her china blue eyes. And now, there was an almighty furor. It was the revolution all over again, with both families baying for his blood. The evening had started out well enough. Their carriage had drawn up outside the neoclassical stone building set on its wide, tree-lined Paris Avenue. Hurrying out of the chill February air and shrugging off their coats, the Chevalier family had made their way into the great ballroom. The room murmured with the convivial buzz of chatter and soft laughter. Crystal chandeliers glittered and sparkled above walls, hung with gleaming mirrors, reflecting the glamorous guests. Men, slick and groomed in black and white. Women, shining like multicoloured birds, evening gowns cascading over bustles, in swirls, frills, ruffles and ribbons. Alexandra knew he looked dashing, and when he finally made his entrance, he sensed admiring eyes on him. He and his family were immediately presented to their hosts, the Bouviers. The Bouvier sisters were all remarkably ugly, with the exception of the youngest.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?